Well, folks, it's that time of year again when Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, releases its annual, quote, list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness, close quote. And joining us now to discuss this year's list and generally very annoying words is Mr. John Shibley, who is with the PR department of the university. Welcome to the Roadhouse, John.
Hey, Happy New Year from the other side of the lake.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. Yeah, that's when you release the list, isn't it? Right after,
yes, it is.
After the first of the year. Before we get into this year's list, tell us about the list and how it got started about 41 years ago.
It started out as a bet at a cocktail party. We had our couple predecessors ago used to get together with faculty and discuss things over cocktails, and it was New Year's Eve 1975. They were talking about words and phrases that were irritating, and they should, if they could get them banned, they would ban them. And Bill Raby, who was the PR director back then, made a bet with a few of the faculty and said, I'll go back and I'll write up. He had five words they talked about, and he worked as a stringer for United Press International and the Associated Press. And he wrote up a press release with the five words they talked about, and he released it on New Year's Day. And as they say, it grew legs and took off from there, and we've been doing it for 41 years now.
Yeah, it looks like it's been pretty successful in many ways. I noticed that you started out as a branch of Michigan Mining University and became a college, and now you're a university with 60-degree programs. How much of that do you attribute to the banished word list?
It just gets us out, gets us talked about. You know, as they say on Madison Avenue, PR is priceless, hopefully good PR. And invariably, when I travel around the country, people say, "Don't you work for the university that bans words every year?" And then I have to sort of say, "Well, we don't really set out to formally ban anything. You know, we're not doing this seriously. You did the preamble. What this list is called? How can anybody take that seriously?" But if there's a serious side, we try to get people to slow down and think about how they express themselves. And that's
well,
sort of the higher education.
I'm sure that has an effect. In fact, you got to the point of even copywriting the list. Am I right?
Well, we've been approached to write books about the effort. And as a branding thing, I think 25 years ago we did put out something where word banishment is copyrighted, but we haven't had anybody infringe on that. So
okay.
It's just largely been a collaborative effort with everybody. The whole.
So do you think your list is the only list out there of this type?
Oh God, no! No,
okay.
It's been knocked off everywhere.
That's what I was thinking.
And everybody has. And if anything, 41 years ago, there wasn't the internet. There wasn't 24/7 news.
Right.
There wasn't the stuff to fill, you know, to keep people engaged. And it's taken on a whole different role. You know, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's semi-serious. But we've seen lists of words and phrases and things that columnists have picked up on the idea. And it's a good idea, and we like to hitch our wagon, and every year it just gets word out about our good university over here, our fair university over here, our excellent university over here.
Well, it still gets attention. It's still a great PR item for you, and you guys are pros at it. And you've
we've been doing it for 40 years, yeah. And I guess that makes us an institution.
Exactly. What I'm wondering is who gets to be on the selection committee? It must be something that people seek to have, give you a little feeling of power that you can actually do something to stop things that are irritating you.
Well, you know, it has a life of its own. And actually, it's Tom Pink and myself who sort of pull the thing together every year. We never have a New Year's off. That's the one curse we have to. And usually, it's like the second week of December. And I say to Tom, my colleague, I say, "Hey, we got to do this. We got to pull this together." And suddenly realize that time of year is upon us. And now that we have the internet and people can submit words and phrases year round, we get thousands of nominations. And part of it's just to wade through them, and we look for humor, we look for cleverness, we do a raw count, whatever floats to the top gets on the list. We can't predict what's going to be on the list. It's an unpopularity contest. So, but it's the two of us that compile it. We're editors. So
popular unpopularity contest. And so anybody can go on your website. And by the way, I'll just say what that is right now. LSSU, that's Lake Superior State University, .edu/banished. And
correct.
If folks want to go on, they'll find all about this and learn how they can submit, because I'm sure there are listeners out there who look at your list and say, oh boy, you missed some. I got to send you a nomination for next year.
Yeah, we're taking nominations right now for 2017. So as they do in Chicago, vote early and vote often.
So let's talk about some of the specific words on the list so that we can have a better understanding of what we're dealing with. Okay, now you probably noticed it. I just used the first banished word twice in the last sentence. And once in its banished form, if I understand it correctly, and once in its still permitted form. So tell us about the first word and why it's banished.
So we sit down and we just let the thing build itself. So, and that garnered the most votes this year. Not necessarily the word so, like you pause and say so. It is starting a response to a question by saying so.
It's a total throwaway.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely unnecessary to put it there. But that's what's, yes, I recognize that one right away.
And you hear a lot of it. And that's why it's sort of contemporary. I watch press conferences, mm-hmm. and we have presser on the list this year too, which is slang for a press conference or a press release. I see respondents, I see people who answer questions, they use it as a sort of a way to get to segue into their answers. So we are up here in over here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So
exactly. Exactly. That may be a
exactly. You could write a book with all these words.
Absolutely. That's another one. Okay, but some of the words are, in and of themselves, not useless, but the way they're used makes them useless. There's another word. The next word on your list is obviously not going to be a banned word, but it's the way it's used. Conversation.
Join the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, instead of chatting or debating or discoursing or arguing or lecturing or talk. It's a $20 word in search of a nickel errand.
Yeah, so is that mostly from talk radio?
Yes, I think so. A lot of it just gets popular, and a lot of people feel it's just overused. And when you look at stuff that's on our list from previous years, it's like a time capsule. I haven't heard that word used that way. Basically, was very popular as a way to express a fundamental thing. Basically, I'm telling you this, but I haven't heard that in conversation a lot. That was something we heard a lot of in the 80s. So a lot of these things are pretty temporal, and people are just tired of hearing them. So that's the only reason they provide when they nominate them.
If you just joined us, folks, we're talking to John Shibley, the Public Relations Department at Lake Superior State University, about LSSU's list of words banished from the Queen's English. There's an annual list. This is the 41st year, and we're just kind of running through a few of the words. And let me ask you, if you've done any research on whether your list actually promotes change, or is it just a matter of time before tired words and phrases wear out?
It gets people talking about it, and that's our goal. Language is quite an amazing thing, and sometimes words and phrases are like old clothes that you should put away in your closet and never revisit. I used to say it'd be like wearing a leisure suit, but those are starting to come back into vogue. You know, you express yourself through how you talk, how you dress, how you present your ideas. Language is a very powerful thing, and anytime we can get people to talk about language is a victory.
Are there any past words that have gone out of use that you take particular pride in having identified and maybe eliminating?
Well, let's see. I'm looking at the all-time list, which you can access.
It's huge.
Here's a word from 1988, ASCII. I'm not really sure. I This is actually the first time that's not a typo, I don't think. But audibleized, 1987, audibleized.
Oh, boy.
That used to mean something where you turn up the sound.
Made valuable, yeah.
But people listen to sound books now, and I've heard people refer to books that are read as being audibleized. So that changes. The whole meanings change over time. But that's from 1987, before the internet, before Audible came out. So audibleized was referred to volume.
Have you ever had like on the list?
Like is on there.
And haven't done a very good job at that. That's still there.
Well, you know, and I always tell people that I'm the first to break the rules and use some of these. Like, I use the word La Macarena all the time. That's from 1997. I think that was part of the presidential election. They used La Macarena. I can't remember, but there are, I'm trying to find a live audience. Okay. 1983, 1987, 1990. Those were banned over those years. Basically, which we talked about earlier, that was first nominated for banishment in the 70s. And the last time we tried to get rid of that through our nominators was around 2002. So you can't keep a bad word down.
No,
it bothers
you can't.
People. We consider it. So.
You know, of course. It's gotten a little better, I think.
It's a hiccup. It's just a little hiccup.
Right. Yep. I guess it is. So.
So.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to get rid of that.
We have break the internet. That was my dark horse. We always look for things that we don't expect, and
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Is that like viral?
Yep. Yep, instead of just keeping things viral, they had to make it three words.
Break the
I guess you, when you try to yeah, when you try to keep somebody's attention, you have to break something. Vape is on our list this year, which was something our students do a lot of. They have these little pens that you can suck on and in lieu of cigarettes.
The vaping, yeah, that's a well. How are you going to ban that? I mean, that's the new nicotine delivery system, isn't it?
That's just it, and we don't we have a tall order, and I take responsibility for compiling this thing, but I don't know if it's safer to vape. I think people are just tired of hearing vaping.
Yes,
we have a therapeutic role here.
There's some other good ones here. The stakeholder, oh boy. That's definitely overused, and a good one is price point.
Price point,
what's
price.
The point of that?
It's just you're putting lipstick on a pig, you know. And like I said this before, my grandfather used to say this. You know, you're using a $20 word on a nickel errand, and anything to keep people's attention, they try to. They'll make it sugar coated, make it seem bigger than it really is. Wizard of Oz.
One of your, the nominator of that one says, it has no point, it's just a price.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is correct. And then another one that I saw that my cohort here on the, that's a word. Did anybody ever nominate cohort?
Cohort?
Yeah, I've been hearing that so much lately, used so differently than...
that's a higher education word, too. Maybe I've heard that a lot in higher ed.
Well, anyway, my cohort, Anne here, thought manspreading was a pretty...
I love that one.
Do you want to define that?
Well, apparently it has its origins on the subways of New York, where, you know, if it's nice and hot in the big city... And you got shorts on, and you're a guy. You just sit there, and you don't care if people see all the way to Ohio, and you can just play well.
I'm getting the image.
There you go. But that's manspreading, and it's something to do with the oppression of manly behavior, and you know, up yours if you don't get it, if you can't deal with it. It's just manspreading. I got to do this sometimes. That's another dark. I mean, most of these words, I don't. If you asked me in the middle of December, and you asked Tom. What are the words? We wouldn't know because we are going to start to compile it, and we don't really get an idea until about a week before we release it. What's even breaking the internet?
Yeah, no, breaking the internet. Yeah, that's when I mean, viral. I think is enough. That should be banned. I don't know if that's been banned yet.
Well, I think a lot of these words are self-banning when people get tired of hearing viral.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's system self-corrects largely.
And during an election year like this, there's a million words that are phrases that the politicians use constantly that undoubtedly have been banned before.
Well, we have walk it back this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is used a lot in politics.
It's kind of like, there's different from, but like kicking the can down the road or something like that.
But we'll have a lot of electioneering phraseology. And I was surprised we didn't have more this year because the election cycle starts earlier every cycle.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you already banned "that's what it's all about," or "that's what this election is about," or, you know, something using the word "about."
Uh-huh.
That was already been banned. That's good, because that gets totally abused. And the other one with the Super Bowl just over, physicality.
Physicality. I love athleticism. We had athleticism one year. You know, I'll be sitting with my father-in-law. That's the only time I really watch a lot of sports is when we go down to Metro Detroit for Thanksgiving. There's football and basketball, and I hear all. And I'm taking notes every time I hear a sportscaster get on about.
Good for you.
All these adjectives. It's wonderful, but I can't add the stuff. I can't do an editor's prerogative and pack the list. It has to build itself.
Yeah, no, I appreciate.
We
that.
We pride ourselves on that.
Got integrity. But, yeah, physicality is a good one, and just getting physical. Oh, it's getting physical out there now. What?
Yeah.
Well, sportscasters, they've got a monopoly on useless words.
Well, and politicians, businessmen, you know, we mentioned stakeholder, problematic. You know, that's something that's no longer a problem anymore. It has to be problematic.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Vegematic or something. and people think, wow, man, that's the magnitude of the problem has gotten to the point where it's problematic. It has a completely different meaning. So. And that's
I'm sure you'll have a great list again next year. A listener emailed me when she heard that this was going to be discussed and sent me an article about words that we're losing. And there's plenty of that, too. Maybe that's another list you guys can come up with. Especially this article was about words about nature, describing nature, because people don't get exposed enough to nature. I mean, up where we are, and same with you are exposed to nature, but there's a lot of words that are...
Well, language has context, and as society becomes more connected through tablets and everything like that, the whole context of living takes on a different meaning. And as I get older, I'm noticing that. Language is dated. The younger generation has a lot of emoticons. So it evolves. We can't help it. But it's interesting to notice. Your listener's right.
Certainly is. And thank you so much, John. Keep up the good work over there. It's sort of a thankless task, or it must be a little frustrating as the words just keep coming back. But keep it up, and we'll maybe talk again next year, and certainly we'll be reading the list next year. So, John Shibley from Lake Superior State University, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on your program, sir.